You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
I made it, so I'm so glad. Thank you guys for being here to watch me start this race. Like, did you look at this thing? It is like slick and perfect, and I can't wait because I'm going to start. So I'm going to do the things, you know, put my hands here and you know, don't touch the line because that would be breaking the rules, and put my foot in the thing, and and that's when I'm smiling for the camera. There we go. Yeah, good. And, yeah, that's totally what I'm going to do when it's time to start the race. And I think the race is, well, hold on. Oh, wait. The race already started. But that's okay because this starting line is awesome. And I'm here at the starting line. And there goes the people out there. But woo, the starting line. And, man, I'm just going to chill here at the starting line in my spandex and enjoy the moment. Do you see my number? My number, it's in code. Do you know what the code is? Anybody? That's my number here. MCCC. That's my number right here for this race. And it's just such a privilege to be able to be here and start this race at the starting line. Look at that, I turned on the light. And I'm just glad to be here and to start. And again, I know you guys are grateful. I'm glad to be here and watching me starting this race or being at the starting line. And you know, actually, if you look from this side, it's still a line. I know, it's crazy, right? I could even do it this way, but then I'd be facing backwards because this is the starting line. And it's just, this is what it's all about, right? It's all about starting line. Because, I've been training for a while. I, like, walked one day from the living room to the bedroom. And then back to the living room because the show was in a commercial break. But getting ready for this moment to be at the starting line, starting here and I've got the gear, you know, I've got my sweatband. Because if you don't have hair, people, I'm just saying, If you don't have hair, it's all over in your face and in your eyes. But I got my sweatband so that I could be here at the starting line, got my number, paid my dues to be in this race at the line. Looks like they're about to lap me here. That's okay, because I'm at the starting line. And it's great to be here. It's wonderful to be here. And I'm so glad I worked so hard to be here at this moment, at this starting line, so that I could be at the starting line. Good times, good times. But of course, people don't enter a race to hang out at the starting line. Right? You enter a race to do what? Finish, to win, to get to the end, to get to the goal. And, you know, depending on what your race is, maybe it's one of those white tapes that you can break through, and you have to do that in slow motion as well. Unless you're like really sprinting and then you do that deal like that where you beat the guy behind you. But you don't go into a race to hang out at the starting line. You don't enter a race, you don't take the time, you don't do the training to spend time at the starting line. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we spend our lives, we're in a race heading for a direction, heading for a finish line, heading for eternity, and yet, for some reason, we think it's cool to spend our focus on the starting line. To spend our energy and our effort at the starting line and say, yes, it's all about the starting line. And anybody would look at you and be like, no, it's not. It's about the finish line. It's about finishing the race. Winning is great, but sometimes it's just getting to the end. I mean, if you were a part of a marathon or an ultra marathon, just finishing, that's a huge accomplishment. And yet we spend so much time on what I call starting line living, where we spend all of our focus, like, this is what's most important. This here is what matters. This is where I'm going to spend my time. This is where I'm going to spend my money. This is what I think is going to matter for me, for everything. Everything that matters here. Meanwhile, the finish line is down there, and we're not even going there because we're so focused on starting line living. And we're going to come back to that and kind of chew on this idea a little bit more. But today we are wrapping up at least the first part of the name series. Like I said, it'll show up at Christmas time in a year. But we're wrapping up the first part of this series where we're looking at these different names of God that are found in the Bible. And we've looked at a bunch of them. We've looked at the name for God, which is Adonai. Is the Hebrew name and the Greek word for that, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Greek word for that was Lord. The Greek word is Theos. And we've looked at the word Lord, lowercase L-O-R-D, which is Adonai in the Old Testament, and Kyrios in the New Testament. We've looked at the name I Am, or Yahweh, which is an Old Testament word describing who God is. What other names have we looked at? We've looked at... I think we looked at Shalom and how God, Yahweh Shalom, He is our peace. Last week we looked at Yahweh Nisi, that God is our banner. He is the standard that we look to. He is the one that is to receive the glory. And so we're wrapping it up today for now. And again, we'll come back to it in a year and a half. But we're wrapping it up with this name and this point. And the point is this. Because God is the beginning and the end, we can worship Him eternally. And I want to focus on that eternally word. Because eternally isn't the starting line. Eternally means forever. It means there's a finish line down the road. And we're going to see that God is the beginning and the end. Meaning God is eternal. And so the name that we're looking at today in the Greek, it's Alpha and Omega. And we're going to see this in a passage here. Why don't we just look at it in Revelation chapter 22. This is the full passage, and then we'll kind of come back and break it down. But in quotes, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, they will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. But the name here that we're looking at is Alpha and Omega. And actually, why don't we hit the house lights? You guys can look at your paper there if you have paper Bibles. And but Alpha, just if you're not aware of this, well, then you're probably aware of this. You are living in a country where literacy is not perfect, but certainly higher than most countries in the world. And so as a preschooler, you learned these things called letters. And what is the word for those 26 letters? What do we call that? That is the alphabet. Now, you probably knew that, you know, depending on your age, you're like, oh, that must be because they named that cereal after the little letters, the alphabet cereal. Anybody remember alphabets? I love that cereal. It was like Lucky Charms without the Lucky, though. So, like, Lucky Charms came along and you had the marshmallows, too. And you're like, what? Anyway, but alphabet, it is two Greek words. The Greek words that make the word alphabet are alpha and beta. And alpha and beta are the first two letters in the Greek alphabet. So that's kind of redundant, isn't it? Alpha meaning A, or alpha is the first letter. Beta is B, is the second letter. And that's why we call it. Or you might have learned it as your ABCs. But the alphabet, the alphabet is those two words, alpha and beta. And so alpha, to a Greek audience, because that's who was reading this at the time, they spoke Greek. They understood that when Jesus says, I am the alpha, they're like, oh, you're the beginning. You're the beginning. You're the alpha. That's the first letter. And then in the Greek language, the last letter of the alphabet was omega. Omega was the last letter. And so I am the alpha and the omega. Greek-speaking people would be like, oh, first, last. We might say, I am the A to the Z. I am the beginning to the end. The A to the Z, or if you're British, you might be like, the A to the Z. Z, I guess that's to make it easier than Z or C. Or maybe like that military phonetic language, you know, where like every letter, Charlie, Delta, Bravo, Gamma, Beta, Epsilon, something, I don't know. But Alpha and Omega, so to that audience, Alpha and Omega wasn't just this cool thing. And of course, it's used today in English language outside of the Bible by people to realize, yes, the beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega. And that's what Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And then he says, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so we'll come back to that in a moment. But just understand that that's the name that we're looking at, is Alpha and Omega. And that these two are put together. But what I want to kind of get this idea as you look at this passage in Revelation 22 is that this isn't the end. The starting line is not the end. The starting line is not the goal. The starting line is not even a place where you're supposed to hang out, really. Nobody hangs out at the starting line. The fans go, everybody waits at the finish line to see who's there at the end. And so I want us to realize something that, and this will hopefully all come together at the end of the morning and definitely in your prime groups this week when you chew on this, is that we get caught up in this starting line living and we miss the fact that it's a race. That we are in a race. And I don't mean like race like African or Hispanic or anything like that. I'm saying we are in a running race, a journey. And so I want to talk about this race that we are in, because it's a race. And I don't know if you ever saw the movie Rat Race, but Mr. Bean was like, it's a race. I hope I win. And then he fell asleep. Actually, we used that as an illustration a couple of years ago. He fell asleep in the middle of the race. We're not talking about that, but we are saying that this is a race and that the starting line is not the goal. So some things we need to understand. First of all, we should look toward the finish line. We should look toward the finish line. Again, in a race, and if we break this down to very normal terms, you're looking towards the finish line. Nobody runs a race like this. Nobody spends their time saying, on your marks, get set, go. Yes. Yeah. You break out a chair and hang out here. Nobody does that. Like, no, you look toward the finish line. And that's what we, as followers of Jesus, we need to be looking toward the finish line. And frankly, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you need to be looking toward the finish line, because as we'll see in a moment, it's going to matter. Because this thing we're in right now, this is frankly the starting line. And this isn't it. Like, there is so much more to what our life should be, because we're in a race towards something at the end. And in verse 12, again, looking back at what we said, Jesus says, "Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds." Jesus says, "Look, I'm on my way. I am coming soon." You think you're like hanging out here at the starting line. And Jesus is like, "No, there's a finish line. There's an end." And we did a whole series called The End because of the end. And what does the end look like? What does that finish line look like? And that finish line looks like Jesus coming back to this earth. He says, "I'm coming soon. And I'm going to bring my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds." And I need to kind of pause and do like a part one and then come to part two of this in just a few moments. But the first thing is we need to understand is that we are, you and I, will be repaid. And that's what the word means. He says to reward those who deserve rewards, but to just the word repay all people. The word repay means to give what someone is owed. And so every person will be given what they deserve for the way they lived. This is part A, part one. And that means that everything that you do that is sin, part one, if the internet cuts out, call me. Okay, this is important. That everything you do, you will be repaid for. Meaning, you will be judged for. You will be sentenced for. So all the things that you do, God is coming back, Jesus is coming back, and you are going to be repaid for those things. And the unfortunate thing is that you and I are sinners. And because we're sinners, we have done a lot of awful things. And so someone, there is punishment that is going to happen, a reward or a punishment when Jesus comes back. Now hang with me there, because there's a solution to this. But as it is, we're in trouble. And so we need to keep in mind that we're looking toward the finish. There is a time when there is going to be a reward. And that reward also could be for the things that we did to honor Jesus, the things that we did to glorify God, the times where we said, "Yes, God is my banner," those moments where we're glorifying God. We will be rewarded for those moments too. So just hold that thought. We'll come back to that. But what we need to understand, what you need to understand, is that this isn't where we are. This isn't what matters. This isn't the focus. It's the finish line. And we need to be looking towards that. And Jesus says, "I'm coming back. I will return." So we don't want to miss that. The second thing is that we will see Jesus at the finish line. We will see Jesus at the finish line. And so this isn't just like, oh, we're going to go and we kind of just disappear and cease to exist. No, there is an end to our lives. And at that moment, we will see Jesus. Jesus will be there, whether that is our death or whether that is when Jesus returns to this earth. And if you can, go to the end, mc3church.org/the end. And you can listen to that series and learn more about how that plays out. But that Jesus will be at the finish line. And that's what he's saying in verse 13 there, 12 to 13. 13. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," meaning I was there at the beginning. And we actually looked at that a few weeks ago, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through Him, all things were created, and nothing has been made without Him. Meaning, Jesus was there at creation with the Father, and the Holy Spirit is there too, the Trinity. Jesus has been there before any of this even existed, and He continues to exist today. And He says, "I am the Omega," meaning I'm going to be there at the end. And He does this thing, there's this thing called synonymous parallelism, which basically is a way of repeating yourself to get the point across. So it's sort of like, you know, if I get to an end of a 9 overtime game, and I'm like, "Ah, oh, we lost. We got beaten. We got hammered. We just got destroyed." Like, those are all basically synonyms for the same thing. We lost the game. And so Jesus kind of uses this thing. He says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega." The first, do you know what first means? The first means first. And the Greek word there, first, actually means before anything. And I am the last. And the word last here is a cool word too. It's not just I'm at the end of the line, but I am the completion. The word is telos, is the Greek word. It means I am the summary. I am the bringing it all together thing. Like I am there before and I am there bringing it all together at the end. And then he says, I am the beginning and the end. So again, three different ways Jesus says, look, I was there from the beginning, I exist now, and I'm going to be there at the end. And we need to realize that, that we're not just kind of living life and doing this thing because we're like, this is important, this is important. And Jesus is like, no, this is the goal, and I'm going to be there. I am with you. And then the third thing, and this is the important part, this is part two now, is that we must cross over the finish line. Getting near the finish line does not complete the race. Right? I mean, you've probably watched some of those sports bloopers, Wide World of Sports. You ever remember those? They used to have like these Saturday morning specials of sports bloopers. That was when cartoons were on TV. But you know, you'd have these like runners that are like almost there, and then like trip and then fall right shy of the finish line, and they didn't win, they didn't finish. And it's a matter of actually crossing over the finish line. So Jesus says he's coming soon, and he's going to reward those for what they've done, and he says that I'm going to be there at the end. But then he goes on in verses 14 to 15, and says, blessed. Greek word here, makarios. We talked about that over the summer. God is active and present in your life. Like, this is a big deal. It doesn't mean you're happy. It means you are blessed for those who wash their robes. Now, Jesus is speaking metaphorically here. Actually, John is speaking at this point, the Apostle John who recorded Revelation. Speaking metaphorically, he's saying that those that have washed themselves, who have been cleansed of their sin, they are blessed. It doesn't mean their life is going to be easy, but it means they are going to have hope. And so this is that when Jesus says, I'm going to reward those, if we are sinners, we're going to get what we deserve. And Jesus says, that's not good enough. I love my creation. So Jesus came to this earth and said, I'm going to take their place. And I will give them my righteousness, my perfection for those that believe in me, for those that wash their robes, for those that have believed that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, not just those that believe in God. James says the demons believe in God. For those that believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, we're going to have a baptism in 2 weeks with people celebrating. We're going to celebrate what God has done in people's lives for deciding to follow Jesus. And so because of that, when it comes to this moment of reward and judgment, if we have accepted Jesus, if we have washed our robes, we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, when it gets to that moment, that we're not going to be judged for our sin because Jesus was judged for our sin on the cross. He says, we will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Meaning at the end, if we believe in Jesus, if we believe in his death on the cross for us, not by what we do, because we can't do it, we can't do enough good things, then we will be allowed to enter the city. And again, it's sort of a somewhat literal and somewhat metaphorical speaking. He's saying that by believing, you will have hope. You will have an eternity that matters. But he said, outside of the city are the dogs. And at that time, you know, dogs weren't like, oh, look at my little puppy. Now, this was a term of negative term. We were just talking about this, I don't know where we were, talking about the wild dogs in Oaxaca. Like, you don't pet them. You don't, there's a lot, like, it's, there's nothing else to eat there. There's no wildlife except for wild dogs. And that is, you don't want that. And so that's what Jesus is saying, that those that are outside, those are the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers. And we're all like, oh, I'm not one of them. And then he's like, and all who love to live a lie. Basically, anybody that has not believed in Jesus, has not accepted his death on the cross, they're outside, and they will be punished according to their deeds. They will receive what they deserve because they have not accepted Jesus. They have not taken that trade. Does that make sense? Hopefully. But the thing is, whether you're a follower of Jesus, so if you're a follower of Jesus, that's great, but there's more to live for than this. Because hopefully, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have people that you know and care about. and you want to see them enter the city. And you want them to give their hearts to Jesus and to follow Him and to be not judged because of their sin, but to have Jesus take their sin so that they can enter into the city. But again, we spend so much time. And I mean, we're Americans and that doesn't help because we have so much stuff. I mean, you realize like things are getting tight right now. The supply chains are kind of falling apart. And I'm not disagreeing or denying that. But we're like, yeah, man, I have to wait 3 days for something now. And nobody, probably none of you, are going to bed tonight going, I hope I have food at all to eat. And so because of that, we get all caught up in the starting line living and we spend our time here and we miss that there's so much more, that this Alpha and Omega, that God is eternal and there is something ahead for us. But we get stuck back at the starting line. Because it's a race, and we get caught in the three things here. We should look toward the finish line. Remember that the starting line isn't the goal. Look toward the finish line. We will see Jesus at the finish line. We will be there. He will be there with us. And He will reward those for what they deserve. And as a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to Him, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome. It's so good to have you here. And if you haven't followed Jesus, haven't made that decision, there's not much hope right now. And that leads to the following thing, is that you actually have to cross over the finish line. And let me just be clear about this. What this means, everybody is going to die, unless Jesus returns. But everybody is going to die. And not everyone is going to automatically get into heaven. Let me just say this. No one is going to automatically get into heaven. Because there's this kind of idea like, oh, well, I was a good person. I went to church a few times. I'll make it in. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with whether you believe in Jesus' death on the cross. That's the only thing you have to do, but that's what it requires. And that is the crossing over the line. Well done. You've finished the race. And we're going to come to that in a little bit here. But if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, you're not going to make your way in. You'll be outside. You'll be like one of the dogs. And I know that sounds harsh, but I would rather be harsh and real with you than make you feel good with no hope or false hope. But that means that what we're doing is a race. And so this phrase, Alpha and Omega, because God is the beginning and the end, we can worship Him eternally. And eternally, eternal means that there's a finish line. Eternal means that this isn't the goal, that this isn't where we spend our time, this isn't where we spend our life. We need to have an eternal perspective, a perspective that doesn't think about here and now, but a perspective that says, no, there's a finish line, there's a goal, and I want to focus on that because that's what's going to matter. Because I didn't do all the exercise, I didn't pay the fees, I didn't get the cool headband so that I could stand at the starting line. I did those things because there is a goal. And we need to be thinking about that goal. And I'm just saying, we screw this up so much. Because the now feels so much more urgent. Because, well, it's now. And we have this starting line living instead of finish line living. And so, I want to talk about finish line living. Let's break this down into some very uncomfortable things for us to have to think about. Some uncomfortable things for us to chew on. So finish line living. And like I said, it comes from this idea of what is called an eternal perspective. Not a perspective for the moment right now, but an eternal perspective for what's next. Next, click there. There we go. An eternal perspective that's for what's ahead of us. So if we have an eternal perspective, if we are living finish line living, it's going to affect a few things. The first thing it's going to affect is how we live. How we live now, if we're thinking in terms of the finish line, how we live now is going to be affected. If you are in a physical, actual race, you are going to do things now so that you can get to that finish line. You're probably going to stop eating the dozen donuts for breakfast and the two dozen donuts for lunch. You're probably going to exercise a little bit more. You're probably going to run. You're probably going to stretch. You're probably going to do some things so that you can get to the finish line. And if we have an eternal perspective, it should affect how we live right now. And I'll say, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote, he planted multiple churches in the book of Acts and then wrote letters to them. And Paul had an eternal perspective. Paul lived finish line living. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? Don't you realize that? You can't all win. And everybody runs." He says, so run to win. Run to win. Keeping this analogy going, he says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. I just said that. You're going to eat things differently. You're going to exercise differently. You're going to do some different things. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. And, I mean, Kendra has been in, I don't know, some. Well, I guess Hannah's upstairs. Kendra and Hannah had run in a bunch of 5Ks back in the day, pre-ankle surgery. And I mean, I think, I don't even know where your medallion is that you got. Like, it's gone. I'm pretty sure that the little banner that held it on, whatever you call that thing, is like disintegrated. And so all those prizes, they're going to fade away. But he says, we're doing it for an eternal prize. Because if we're living as followers of Jesus, we're not doing it for this thing. We're doing it for something that matters. We're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for a prize where we will be rewarded for honoring Jesus. And we will be able to be rewarded for the people that we have helped bring to Jesus. And we'll be rewarded for the way our lives have honored Him in giving Him the glory, in living for Jesus, in obedience. Again, assuming you've made the decision to follow Jesus. He says, so we're running for an eternal prize. He says, so I run with purpose. In every step. And I'll tell you what, it is so easy. We're just like, oh yeah, I guess that does matter. But boy, am I comfortable right now. Boy, do I like my stuff. Boy, do I like where I am. And Paul's like, no, it's about that. Run every step with purpose. And we often drift through life, kind of doing it, well, kind of whatever. And we forget, no, wait, we're in a race. Let's run to win. And let's run with purpose in every step. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing. And that's the NLT. The NIV says, I'm not just chasing shadows. I'm not like a man fighting aimlessly at my own shadows. Like, that's a waste of time. He says, no, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what I should. So Paul's not specifically talking about, you know, he benches 450. He doesn't run a half marathon every morning. He's saying that what he is doing, he is working hard to make his spiritual body, if you will, ready for this race, to run to win this race. He says, I'm training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I feel that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul's like, it is about finish line living. It is about the end. It is not about the here and now. It is not about being happy. It is not about being satisfied. It is not about being whole, rich, fulfilled, all of those things. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but they become our focus. And we're here at the finish line going, look at it. It's so nice. It's wonderful. I'm so happy here. And Paul's like, you idiot. Run, get up and run the race. There's a goal. Run to win. Run like an athlete. Get to heaven. Get to Jesus. Get to eternity and bring people with you. Over in 2 Timothy, and you know, you think that's cool. Listen to the power of this. This is probably one of the last letters that Paul wrote. Scholars say this is probably the last thing that he wrote shortly before he died. And he says here, knowing that that's going to happen, he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. He said, I've been living my life for God. He said, the time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And he says, and now, at the end, at the finish line, the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Alpha and Omega, I am coming soon to reward those according to what they have done. And Paul says, when I get to the end, I'm near the end now. And Jesus is going to reward me with that crown of righteousness. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul says, look, if we have finish line living, if we live with an eternal perspective, that reward that Paul was looking forward to can be ours as well. But if we're spending our time here going like, I'm stuck here and I'm happy here and I like it here, we're going to miss out. It should affect how we live. Starting line living just drifts through life for me. What's going to make me feel good in this moment? What's going to make me happy in this moment? What's going to make me feel good next week? What's going to make me feel good when I retire? And it's all about me in the moment drifting. But finish line living lives life on purpose for Jesus. Run to win. It should affect how we live if we have that perspective. The second thing is eternal perspective should affect where we spend. Where we spend. Where our money goes. And I'm not just talking about giving. And this is definitely part of it. God's provided for us. I don't need your money. We don't need it. God's got it. It's His thing. But the way where you and I spend our money is no question a determiner, a factor about where our perspective is. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, and you've heard it so many times. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth. And yet we still go, but I want the new car, but I want the new iPhone, but I want the better computer, but I want that new program package, but I want this next clothing, but I need that new thing, but I want the next stuff. And Jesus says, don't store up your treasures. I know, but you don't understand, Jesus. There's this thing that I need. He says, don't store up your treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. He's like, your stuff isn't going to last. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. Can we get that? And I mean, we, like, all of us get it in our thick skulls because we think, oh, but this is going to be the one that's going to make me happy now. This is the one that's going to satisfy, and it's going to break. The battery is going to give out. The chassis is going to rust. It is not going to work. The moths will come through, or maybe you will get a little bit bigger and it won't fit anymore. But it's not going to last. And Jesus says, don't spend time on stuff that's going to last. He says, store your treasures in heaven. Have an eternal perspective. Have finish line living. Look to the end. He said, there, moths and rust can't destroy them because they're eternal treasures. They're going to last forever. That's what eternal means. And thieves do not break in and steal. And then he adds this little thing. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And Jesus says it on purpose here. He doesn't say, where your desires are, those are the things you're going to treasure. He's like, no. We're not going to let you lie to yourself. It's time to stop being fake. He says, where are you spending your money? Because that's where your heart is. What are the things that you spend money on? That's where your heart is. Oh, no, but I really have... Well, Jesus is like, no, don't give me your... Oh, well, I really... No, he says, if you're spending money on it, your heart's there. If you're spending money on eternal things, your heart is there. And the eternal things are going to last. Over in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says a similar thing here. He says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. And if you guys have been here when we've done an MC3 missions team, we talk about Project 1233. And we say, we'd love everybody at MC3, every family, to sell something and give $100 towards our missions team based on this verse. He says, this will store up treasure for you in heaven. He says, get rid of the stuff that's going to be destroyed and use it for someone in need. That's going to store up treasures for heaven. And he said, and the purses of heaven will never get old or develop holes or be hacked or have a compromise in your data or have a sudden drop in the stock market. None of those things will happen. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. And, you know, if you bring a financial advisor in, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to spend our money wisely and all that. But, you know, like, you can't beat this. This is like the ultimate financial plan. Guaranteed return on investment. Guaranteed ROI. Guaranteed that you will never lose anything. Guaranteed that anything you put into it is always going to return in a greater way. Like, that's an amazing sales pitch. But he says, in both times, Jesus says that you're... It's about where your treasure is. It's about what you're spending your money on. And if we are finish line living, it's going to affect how we spend our money. And we get so caught up in here and we're like, oh, but I want to buy this chair so I can sit in the starting line. And I want to buy these new sneakers that look good while I'm standing at the starting line. And Jesus is like, no, there's a finish line. That's the goal. So eternal perspective should affect where we spend. The third thing is that eternal perspective or finish line living should affect who we hear. And that is horribly grammatically incorrectly. But who do you listen to? Whose voice, and you're going to have a chance to just be vulnerable in your prime groups and discuss this week. Whose voice, other than God, we'll get to God. Well, I listen to God all the time. Yeah, okay. We're sinners. We sometimes don't. But he says, second to Jesus, whose voice do you listen to? Whose opinion matters to you the most? And see, we get caught up and we think we're here and we're like, oh, but that person, if I do this thing, they're going to get mad at me. Or if I don't kind of go along with the crowd, my friends might not like me. If I don't fit in with that group of people, I know they're not following Jesus, but they're kind of nice and they say God a lot. And Jesus Christ, so they must be Jesus followers, right? And we get caught up like, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want people not to like me. I don't want to be not the cool kid in class. I want to be like Sean, who is ultimately cool. I don't want to be the people that everybody looks at and says he's an idiot. I understand. I get it. Not everybody can be me. But this idea of whose voice are we listening to? In Luke chapter 12, this is what Jesus says. And it cuts like, wah. He says, I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. Now, he's not talking about people. He's talking to his disciples. And he's not saying like, oh, they might not like you. Oh, that's sad. They might not sit next to you in the lunchroom. And I get some of that. That hurts. But Jesus is like, no, we're talking about people that want to kill them. We're not just talking about like saying mean things to them. Which again, our words matter, no question. But he's talking about people that want to kill them. He says, don't be afraid of those that can kill you. Okay, that's intense, Jesus. He says, but after that, can do no more. The worst that someone can do to you is kill you on this earth. He says, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of these lame humans that what are they going to do, kill you? What you need to be worried about is not their opinion, but about God's opinion. He's the one that matters. When you die, he's the opinion that's going to matter. Have you believed in Jesus? Are you honoring him? Welcome into the city. Oh, you have not chosen to follow Jesus because you're so concerned about what everybody else over here thinks. He says, sorry, go out and be with the dogs. But we are so concerned about how people think about us and what they're going to say and what, and I get it. I'm way worried about what people think about me. But Jesus says, look, there's someone whose opinion should matter so much more. Don't get caught here in starting line living, worrying about what they're going to say, what they're going to think. Worry about what God has to say. Worry about his opinion. Worry about what Jesus thinks of you, not what other people think about you. And if we are worried about what these people think here, you're here. Don't kid yourself. You're at the starting line. You're not focused on finishing the race. So, eternal perspective affects how we live, where we spend, who we hear, and then finally, what we say. What we say. And this kind of goes back to what Jesus said. I'm going to be there at the end, and I'm going to reward those. Ultimately, those that have chosen to follow me, and those that have not chosen to follow me are going to be judged. And they're going to receive hell. And that was the series Burn. That was what it was all about. You can go to mc3church.org/burn and listen to that 4-part series about what hell is. And it's not pleasant. And so if we're looking at the finish line, if we're thinking with an eternal perspective, here and now doesn't matter. But what does matter is getting anybody that we possibly can to join us at the finish line. And to cross over the finish line. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul writes this, and we've talked about this so many times. Paul says, though I am free and belong to no one. He's like, I can do whatever I want. I'm a follower of Jesus. God's got me in his hands. I don't have to do any of this. He says, but even though I'm free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He said, look, I am so interested in making sure that people are with me at the finish line that I'm going to do whatever it takes. To the Jewish people, I did the Jewish thing so I could talk the Jewish people into joining me at the finish line to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like the one under the law, even though I'm not under the law. Says, oh, okay, you guys are law-abiding people. Let's talk about the law because I want you to come with me to the finish line. He says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So is to win those not having the law. He says, those people, oh, okay, you're not really into the Jewish law thing. Well, look, let's do it this way so that I can bring you to the finish line. To the weak, I became weak. Oh, you know, I'm sorry, you're weak. Let me help you. I will be weak with you. Let's go together to the finish line because the finish line is the goal. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. He says, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. He says, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring people with me to the finish line because living for now doesn't matter. Like, dude, that guy jumps a lot. I'll regret that later. I have not been buffeting my body to prepare for that. But like, we get so caught up, like, oh, these things matter, and I don't want to say anything to offend them. I'd rather watch them burn in hell than offend them now at the starting line. And Paul says, I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm willing to risk whatever it takes. I'm willing to take whatever it costs so that I can bring people to Jesus to join me at the finish line. And over in Acts chapter 20, and this is Paul speaking again. He's telling his story. He says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. He says, God is telling me I need to go to Jerusalem. I'm following him. I'm obeying him. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. He said, the only thing I do know, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. He says, God has said, you need to go to Jerusalem. And I don't know what awaits me there, but I know that God has said, it's going to be hard. And you're going to be in prison. And it's going to suck. And he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul's like, I'm about to go to Jerusalem and it's going to be awful. He said, but I don't care because if that's what it takes to bring people with me to the finish line, then it's worth it. That is finish line living. An eternal perspective should affect how we live. Like, it shouldn't be about now. I mean, Kendra's grandfather passed away about a month and a half ago, and it was an amazing, like, 3-hour, 2.5-hour long funeral. And there was sadness because Grandpa wasn't here on the earth, but there was so much joy because he is worshiping God eternally. He is celebrating with his Savior. And the room was people standing up saying, oh, you never knew this, but he brought me to Jesus when I was in preschool. Oh, you didn't know me, but he brought me to Jesus when he drove us to church when we were on that bus thing. Oh, you don't know me, but he brought me to Jesus when he helped me work on this wood project. And they have these different voices like that. This is the story of a man that wasn't worried about now, that in his last hours is making phone calls saying, whatever you do, live for Jesus. Dial the next number. Whatever you do, live for Jesus. Dial the next number. Whatever you do, live for Jesus. Because it's not about now. He says it's about eternity. And that's the goal. So it should affect how we live. It should affect where we spend. If we're spending our money for me on things that aren't going to last, it's wasted. But finish line living says, I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help others see Jesus. Eternal perspective should affect who we hear. Who are we listening to? If we're worried about now, starting line living says, I'm worried about what other people are thinking about me. Finish line living says, I'm concerned about what Jesus thinks about me. And then finally, what we say. Starting line living makes sure that I'm comfortable, makes sure that I can kind of do my thing and my rights and what I deserve and being happy and all that good stuff. And finish line living says, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring people with me to the finish line. Because we're not here to start the race. We're here to finish it. And we have been called by an amazing God, by an Alpha and Omega God that is eternal, that says, I want to offer you eternity. So stop living in at the starting line. Look forward to the finish line. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this series and the different names, and even as our prime group discussed last week, just the ways that each name represents you in a beautiful and powerful way. And I thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, that you are eternal. And God, I pray for each of us, and I know that this is not easy stuff to talk about, but I pray that we would not get caught up in starting line living and the here and the now and the comfort and the things and the stuff and the new, but we would focus on the finish line. That we would run with purpose in every step so that we can do whatever it takes to bring people with us to that moment. That we can get to that finish line, crossing over by giving our lives to Jesus and helping as many people get there as possible. Thank you that you have offered us your Son, and that we have hope, that we don't have to fear the finish line at all. That we can look to death with joy and expectation because of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would help us to do that. Help us to make the changes we need to do to do that. And help us to see ourselves clearly and not make excuses and not come up with reasons why it kind of doesn't mean what we think it means, but to simply obey you and live for the finish line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.